and welcome to Echoes from the Shore, Lessons from Diverse Marine Values, a new podcast from the Diverse Marine Values Project, funded by the Sustainable Management of Marine Resources Programme. For 3 years, the Diverse Marine Values team has been exploring the many ways people value the sea and how these values can be integrated more fully in marine management in the UK. This podcast will give you hints and tips about how to use a diverse suite of methods to understand the relationship between people in the ocean, coast and sea. You'll be hearing about some of the insights, challenges and findings that the team has uncovered, with lessons for you to use these methods in your own research and practice. We hope this podcast series can help to develop capacity across the UK's marine research community and foster new pathways for inclusion of diverse values within marine policy. I'm Dr. Emma McKinley, a senior research fellow at Cardiff University.
And I'm Dr. Victoria Leslie, a research fellow at the University of Portsmouth. And in each episode, we'll be initiating a conversation with researchers from the Diverse Marine Values team to understand more about working on this unique project. For this episode, we are joined by Dr. Sue Ranger. Hi, Sue. Welcome to the Echoes from the Shore podcast.
Hello. Lovely to be with you.
Sue, would you mind telling us a bit about yourself and about your role on the project?
So I am a dyed-in-the-wool, long-serving member of the environmental non-governmental organisation community, working in conservation for the past 30-odd years, mostly with a focus on the marine environment and kind of engaging communities with natural resource management issues in the UK and also beyond. And at the moment, I am co-director of a community interest company called FreeStata, which exists to try and work closely with communities to have them speak freely and engage fully in the kind of big issues that we face today around biodiversity loss and climate change.
Amazing. Thanks, Sue. Could you tell us a little bit about the methods that you used within the Diverse Marine Values Project?
So my engagement with the Diverse Marine Values Project was largely related to supporting work using the community voice method, which is a now really kind of well-exercised method, which uses film, so arts-based approaches, to engage communities in thinking and talking about kind of pressing issues that they're facing, or decisions that need to be made, or development of community-led plans and that sort of thing. So I because I had worked with that method before, I was invited in to support that element of the Diverse Marine Values Project, working across the three test sites in Chepstow, Shetland and Portsmouth. But I was most fully involved, I suppose, in the Chepstow test site, which happens to be on my doorstep because I live in Ross-on-Wye, on the banks of the beautiful River Wye. So, yeah, it was a treat to be able to actually work on a project that's in my backyard, so to speak.
That's great. And I was going to ask, how did this method help you to understand different values?
I think the beauty of the community voice method is that it is it gives people the opportunity to kind of sink deeply into thinking about what really matters to them. So it uses a kind of a semi-structured interview guide to run people through a set of thoughts and questions and really kind of tap into what matters to them. I'm going to talk a little bit differently about that because that was a bit weird. I guess to rephrase, to restate that, I think one of the most direct ways to uncover value is to listen to what people say about the way that they benefit from places, or how particular places or nature contributes to their well-being. And it's these accounts of what time in nature does for them that then reveal value. So, for example, when someone says to us that spending time by the river when they're angling helps them to clear their head and calm themselves, then they are reporting that they've received benefit from that place, and in so doing, they've revealed that the place has therapeutic value. So, basically, talking about well-being benefit is what we enable people to do, and therefore that enables you to talk about the value that is realized through their time in kind of natural places. And CVM lets you do that. So it basically encourages people to tell you what matters, like how does a place make them feel? You know, why does it help them to cope better or have a better sense of well-being? And then that kind of points you to the value that is being realized through those relationships, if that makes sense.
Absolutely. Thank you. That's a really great description of the CVM method. It sounds like it was really appropriate for the Diverse Marine Values Project, giving that focus on different values. Could you tell us a little bit about the kind of the steps of running a CVM process, like what's involved in delivering and using CVM as a method?
I think that there are process steps that you go through. So, you know, essentially, very simply, it is you interview a bunch of people, you analyze all of the data that you gather from that process, code it and analyze it, and kind of develop a narrative from it. You make a film, you show the film at workshops, and then you use all of the data from the whole process to kind of think about what the next steps might be. So what action happens, what changes in the world, what can you do informed by what has come out of that process. But I think that there are some kind of fundamental kind of ethos level parts of CVM which set it apart. And these are things like listening, you know, from the very beginning, from the outset, from the, you know, the project team meetings, through the interviews, through the workshops, kind of an exercise of deep listening and really taking the time to understand what people mean is very important. A sense of kind of openness and respect. So going into the process, taking a values-based approach, recognizing that people value things differently. You know, for one person it might be a livelihood, for others, for another it might be a, you know, the spirit, the source of their spiritual well-being, and that's okay. You know, all of the values are equally valid. So kind of taking that really respectful approach, I think, is really important, and trying to create a space where nobody feels like they're kind of valorized, or they're the right and somebody else is the wrong. You know, just kind of trying to create that really sort of collaborative, positive, constructive operating environment for people. And that runs throughout the project. And there are, you know, some other elements like that kind of go beyond the process towards the actual kind of, I guess, the culture of CVM. Well, as I experience it.
Thank you. That's really helpful for those who might be interested in using CVM as a methodology. You talked about the fact that it's kind of an interview process. How do you go about identifying the people that you might want to interview, or that you want to bring into this very participatory, very in-depth, qualitative, respectful process?
So in the first stage of a CVM project, you're going to be looking for a, you know, relatively small sample of people. So we've done traditionally like 20 to maximum 40 people, which in a large community, which in some of the projects has been quite geographically spread, is not a large number of people. So all you're trying to do with that initial sample is to try and have the best go at bringing in as diverse a range of voices as possible, keeping in mind that there are some voices, depending on what kind of issue or subject matter you're getting into, who need to be in that conversation. So, you know, kind of being, I suppose, quite directed in the people that you involve. So if you're talking about cockle fishing, you're going to bring in the cockle fishers and the person who manages the cockle fishery and so on. But then also broadening that out to get the kind of community perspective on the issue that is at hand. So trying not to just limit it to the most direct and obvious stakeholders, but trying to get kind of a multi-perspective take on the issue that is being dealt with. So I guess in that small sample, you try and get as much diversity as possible, but make sure that the voices that have to be in are in. always keeping in mind that the film is only the first part of the process, that you have the opportunity to broaden out that audience as much as you are, as you want to, or are able to do during the workshop phase of the project. And that at that stage, voices are as valid as they are in the initial interviews. You know, you're going to continue to listen, as I said before, and capture what people tell you through each stage of the process.
This focus on listening obviously is a really inherent, important part of the CVM process. But you also mentioned the way that you're interpreting indicators to reveal values. I wondered if you could talk a little bit about the values framework that you've developed and how this was used in the project.
As I said before, kind of the route into revealing values is through listening to what people say about the contribution of a place or a resource to their well-being. So the framework that we use is actually a framework which looks at subjective well-being. So rather than looking at value types or anything like that, it's looking at, okay, what are the ways that people express benefit to their well-being in a holistic way? So we look at individual well-being. So that's things that people experience through the time they spend in nature, things like aesthetic benefit or that therapeutic benefit that I was talking about earlier, or feeling accomplished because they've been able to do something challenging in a natural setting. So that there is all of that. And then there are the relational aspects of well-being, and that is well-being benefit because of the time that you spend in nature and what you do with other people whilst you're there. So it's like that social connection, but it's also a sense of ecological well-being. So a sense of I thrive because the natural environment I'm in is thriving. So there's a real kind of a relationship aspect. So we look at the relational elements of it, and then material also, because, you know, things like livelihoods, like access, like safety, you know, the material things that you need to be able to be in a space and to benefit from a space are also valid. So it's kind of trying to take a holistic look at the ways that people express how a place, a resource benefits them. And then from that picture that they paint, you can see what value that place has to that individual, but also then through the conversations that you have in the project, also to a community or to, you know, to a wider group. So, yeah, that's basically the framework is individual, relational and material well-being benefits. And it's been generated through kind of data gathered through CVM interviews over the past 10 years or so. So it's coming from people's voices. It was generated as by looking at what people were saying rather than as kind of like a, you know, pre-established framework. It has emerged from listening. I'm going to keep saying listening, keep listening. Yeah, that's kind of where the framework has come from. If that answers your question.
Yes, yeah, it definitely does. Really great to hear the emphasis on listening, particularly in the work we're doing in this project. I was just going to ask again another question about the impact of using film, the power of using film, because it obviously has this ability to showcase issues in a way that are maybe more impactful than if you were just listening to them. So I wondered if you could talk about the use of the film techniques and the film itself, and maybe some of the receptions to the film that you've been at some of the screenings.
Yeah, I think the value and the impact of film in CVM can't be underestimated. There are a few things that strike me. One is that when you are in a kind of a public meeting, when you're in a public meeting space, that has a particular quality, which is very different from what it might be like when you are in a kind of a one-to-one interview where you can be kind of focused and centered and relaxed. And what the film does in CVM is to bring that, the kind of atmosphere of an interview into a public space. So it kind of sets the tone for how we're going to communicate and the level of communication and the time that's going to be available for people to express themselves. And I think that just really switches the mood in the workshop. So when you bring people together without that, kind of a public meeting or a workshop has a particular quality where you forget about the individual and the personal and that conversational piece. And I think film really brings that in. The other thing is that it evens the playing field. So whereas in some traditional public meetings, you might have particular people who will always be first to speak, who will, you know, their point of view is kind of elevated above others and so on. By starting a workshop with a film where people are presented beside one another and their points of view are presented equally, it's kind of here are a range of points of view. Nobody's elevated in that way. So it brings again into the meeting an atmosphere of everybody's point of view is valid. People have different points of view and that's okay. So if you don't agree, it's all right to disagree, you know, in a respectful, calm, conversational way, it's absolutely all right. And then finally, just so I mean, I could yodel on about film all day, but the final one is, you know, just you can't underestimate the benefit of actually hearing about an issue that is important in a community from members of the community rather than from experts or outsiders or, you know, you see your Uncle Bob or, you know, whoever talking about things that matter. And I think that is incredibly important for informing really productive and locally owned conversations. I'll stop at those three for now.
That's great. Thanks so much, Sue. I think that emphasis on different voices, listening actively, and that being such a central part of CVM as a process, but also seeing people represented so that they are, it's like kind of experts of their own lived experience, of their own connection to whatever place you're working in, whatever the issue that you're talking about. All of those things are such an important part of the CVM process. And you mentioned yourself that one of the test sites for the Diverse Marine Values Project is on your own doorstep, and that you have a deep connection to the site around Chepstow and the Upper Wye catchment and the Upper Severn estuary. How did that kind of connection and that familiarity impact the design and the production of the CVM film, and I suppose the facilitation of the workshop for that test site, if at all? It may not have, but did that kind of, did your own personal relationship play a part in how you thought about those interviews and the delivery of that workshop?
I think the impact of the workshops was quite different from other projects that I've worked on, because, you know, facilitating a table discussion where people are saying things that are in your own heart is quite different from being an almost kind of slightly removed facilitator who is just kind of trying to help people work through something which is kind of in their hearts and which is, you know, really important to them. So that the tone of the workshops for me was very different, because I, you know, I was listening to things that, to thoughts that were going around in my own head. I suppose that I really welcomed the opportunity to kind of take that source to see approach, which, you know, which Emma, which you championed within the project too. And I thought that was brilliant because it helps broaden the conversation around this issue in my own community, you know, whereas people are kind of trying to pin blame on one particular thing, one input, one kind of issue. The Watershed film, I think, help people to just kind of pull focus and go, okay, hang on, like, what is the issue that we're actually working on? And that in turn brought one of the biggest editing challenges I've ever had in a community voice film, because all the issues and all of the voices were kind of interlocked. So there was kind of this geographic narrative that started up in Powys and then wound through down through, you know, through the Wye Valley and down to Chepstow and out into the Severn and into the ocean. And trying to tell that interwoven story, you know, rather than kind of looking at different issues, was just a different, it was like a plait. It was like a kind of like a, just this woven thing. So it was wonderful to do, but also quite challenging. And yeah, I think that I like the fact that we brought that broader view, that we, you know, that we asked people within the workshops to think about the system, rather than just their little piece of the system, if you like.
That's really interesting that you use the plait analogy. It kind of echoes some of what has come out of one of the other SMMR projects about the interweaving of different themes, and how important it is to think about those connections between, you know, what might seem quite separate topics, but actually they're really important. And there's the multiple layers that come out. And that's definitely something we've been trying to explore in the Diverse Marine Values Project and making sure we capture that. In terms of the delivery of the CVM methodology and the process, is there anything that you think worked particularly well for the project and for understanding the three communities that we've been working in?
So I think that replicating the process of CVM in those three different places, almost simultaneously, I mean, I know the project's been spread over a bit of time, but kind of doing that similar exercise with the same group of people in those three different places was really interesting, because I think that it showed how kind of a different character can emerge in different places using the same technique. So if you use this technique, you're not always going to get the same results. And the method allows those differences to emerge. So one of the things that I was just, when reflecting on the last question, one of the things that I felt emerged really strongly in the Chepstow data was the impact of a decline in the quality of the environment on people's own well-being. You know, there's a very immediate problem with the River Wye in terms of pollution, and people talked really clearly about how their well-being and the river's well-being were interconnected. and as one declined, the other declined. That didn't necessarily come out particularly strongly in the other areas, because we were looking at different kind of different themes and different issues, and the method enabled us to respond to the differences and also then revealed some of those differences. So I think it showed kind of the versatility of the method, and its ability to, you know, to kind of highlight difference or highlight the particularities of a place or an issue.
This idea of the kind of interconnection between people and nature and the impact on well-being, I think came through in the CVM, particularly in the Chepstow film, like you say, particularly well. And we should add that that listeners to this podcast can view all three of the CVM films on the Diverse Marine Values YouTube channel and also on the Marine Conservation Society website. And we'll put links within the notes for this podcast in the descriptor. I was going to ask, in contrast, was there anything in the CVM process that you didn't feel worked so well in relation to the test sites?
So I think that, you know, when I was talking about CVM ethos earlier on, I think something that in the practice of CVM in past projects, something that's been incredibly important is the focus on commitment to action and change after the project. So the focus in the Diverse Marine Values project, you know, the kind of objectives were to understand diverse marine values, not necessarily to change the world on the ground. So not necessarily to connect in with kind of, you know, what might come next or what change was going to happen or what action was going to be taken. And that, you know, that's perfectly fine. That was the kind of objective of this work. But I think CVM really comes into its own when there is that connection into kind of lasting change and lasting engagement. So, you know, it revealed itself as a really useful research tool, I think, in this project. But I think that there is more to give, you know, there is more to be squeezed from it, more goodness to be squeezed from it if you actually, and the intention was there. So for example, with the Chepstow site, we did work, you know, Emma connected with the Monmouthshire County Council, who have declared a motion for the rivers and ocean. And it was an opportunity for them to kind of better understand people's views about that and how people might like to engage with it. So there is some useful data in there and useful, you know, useful relationships. But yeah, perhaps not the kind of resource and time available to continue to invest in that and make sure that actually some of the actions are followed through. So it's not really didn't work well. It's just wasn't really the purpose of the work in this instance, perhaps. But yeah, just to flag that it is, you know, it is there as a potential.
It's a really important thing to think about for people who might want to use CVM as a methodology, that it is that, as you said at the beginning when you were describing the process, that it is a starting point. It's not an end point. And it is meant to be a catalyst for further conversation and for taking discussions and engaging with communities around particular issues forward. And it's not that kind of necessarily an end point or a call for action. It's meant to stimulate and be part of an ongoing process. And that, I think, for me, is being kind of the first time I've been involved with CVM as a methodology, that was a really important lesson. And I think it's an important thing for anybody listening to the podcast to kind of be conscious of that, particularly when we were running some of the workshops, we would have people say, well, where's the solution? You know, at the end of but this left me feeling like, well, what do you want me to do about it? And the point is that the CVM film and it is meant to stimulate the conversation about what those solutions might be and how they might be community specific or place based or topic specific, like what matters in each community. And as you said, it's not a one size fits all process. It will be analysis and the methodology will elicit different things in different places. And I think that they are really important reflections kind of for anybody who might want to use that method, that it's not going to give you an exact and replicable process each time. And with that in mind, thinking about how people might take it forward, what would be the main bits of advice that you would give to someone who might be new to CVM or who might be interested in using the methodology in their own research, in their practice? What would be the kind of maybe the top two or three points, best tips and best bits of advice that you would give to someone who might want to use the method?
I think perhaps the biggest one is to start with the end in mind. So by thinking about what it is that you actually want to achieve, you can make an informed judgment about whether this is the right methodology for you. So just be really, really clear about what it is that you're trying to do from the outset, and design everything. So you design your project team, your interview guide, your consents, everything that you do is designed knowing where you want to get to. So we've already said that CVM is not a finite process. We've been involved in projects, you know, projects we did 10 years ago that you can still trace impacts happening now 10 years later because of what was catalyzed 10 years ago. So it's not a, you know, start and end, but actually, where do you want to get to with the process that you're running? If that is better understanding or deeper kind of and broader community engagement, or developing a community action plan, or, you know, solving a particular problem, just know what it is that you're trying to do with this piece, and then design everything with that in mind. Because then you can be really honest and open with the people who are participating about what they can expect. You can manage expectations, which is enormously important. So if you're clear, then the whole process becomes kind of this honest, open engagement where people know why they're getting involved, they know what to expect, and they know what the potential outcomes can be. There might be some mad things you couldn't have predicted that might happen because of it, but actually just have that clear, kind of clear intention, I think.
Thanks, Sue, for that really great advice. It's really helpful for project teams going forward to think about that end product and how we can get to that process, and making sure that's all integrated into the design of, as you said, right from the very beginning, from the interview questions, from the design of the workshop, from the consents, and making sure that you have that end goal at the start and kind of right from the forefront. We have been working in a very transdisciplinary team, bringing together a range of different disciplines, a range of different expertise, including practitioners and working kind of outside the research community, which has been a really interesting and part of being part of the Diverse Marine Values project. What are your reflections on working in such a transdisciplinary team?
So I think that whilst, you know, there is a transdisciplinary team, I feel like the emphasis in the project was still fairly academic. So whilst there were kind of and I can't speak for the project as a whole because I've only been involved in a piece of it. And while there was practitioner participation, it still felt, you know, kind of, I don't know how to say, it still felt like it was a process that was kind of owned more by the academic community than by the practitioners or by the community that was involved. And I think that is, you know, that is fine, because transdisciplinarity is a journey in progress. You know, it's not a done deal. We don't know how to do it perfectly. So I think that, you know, there was a lot of learning. There was learning for me. There were times when I felt, I guess, you know, to be blunt, quite out of place, because my brain couldn't help jumping towards that. So what's going to change? What's going to happen in the world? That's why I work. I work to change things, you know, to improve things for communities or to improve things in the environment, which is what we're all doing. But on my focus was so much on that I was kind of like, you know, kind of, you know, it's all very well thinking about conceptual frameworks and all of the kind of important things that are being constructed through the project. But I had to kind of train myself to, you know, just allow that to be enough. So yeah, I guess there was discomfort, you know, and again, that's okay. Like I wouldn't go into a transdisciplinary group feeling like everybody was going to be all cushy, because it's not, that's the whole point. It's difficult. And people have to make adjustments and, again, listen to one another. And, you know, I think that was there from, you know, in every aspect, people were there to listen and to kind of take other points of view on board and so on. So it was the culture was right of openness and kind of welcoming everybody in. But it's still a new way of working. So I think it's, you know, it's honest to talk about it being uncomfortable at times. So I think very rich and uncomfortable.
Well, thank you so much, Sue, for giving us your time to think about your role on the Diverse Marine Values Project. We've really enjoyed talking to you.
Thanks, Sue.
A pleasure. It's always lovely to see you both.
Thanks for joining us. If you're interested to learn more about the Diverse Marine Values Project, please visit our website, which we'll link in the show notes, and tune in again for the next episode in this podcast series.
The Sustainable Management of UK Marine Resources Programme is funded by the Natural Environment Research Council and the Economic and Social Research Council. The Diverse Marine Values Project is one of six projects funded to explore new ways of forging partnerships and approaches to marine management in the UK. For further details, please visit the SMMR website.